As we continue through Advent today, we are reading Isaiah. I invite you to hear these words, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 and 11, a short passage this morning, but important for our theme today. Don't worry, I know what time it is, David, and I've already worked on the timing of this service, so do not worry about how long the sermon will be. But listen to Isaiah's words this morning, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. May God bless the reading of this word this morning. As has been the case through Advent, the readings from Isaiah are probably not the most familiar readings to us, but our verses for this morning do remind us of the theme of this third Sunday of Advent, the theme of joy. Especially as we read that first verse, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Delighting in the Lord, rejoicing in God. That is the theme of this day, the theme of these verses. 2 weeks ago, when we began reading Isaiah, we said that the people of Isaiah's time, well, they were struggling. They were struggling with hope. They did not experience much peace. Life was difficult. It was tense for them. It was a daily challenge. God seemed distant in their lives, and God's plan and purpose for them seemed to be a long-forgotten dream. There was very little to rejoice about. Food was scarce. Financial resources were drained. There were tensions that were constantly increasing. War was always a threat. The economy was tough. Long years of captivity in Babylon were physically exhausting, as well as emotionally exhausting. But it was within this context that Isaiah offers a fresh word from God. Isaiah gave the people hope. Last week we said Isaiah gave the people a new word from God that gave them peace in the midst of their struggles. And now today we read again in the dark and difficult times of life, Isaiah talks about joy. He says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Think about this. The little remnant of Israel, the little faithful remnant of Israel was delighting and rejoicing in the Lord during the difficult times of life. And why? Why are they rejoicing? Because all through this book, Isaiah has promised them, God is sending a Messiah. And when God sends the Messiah, your life is going to be better. All through the book of Isaiah, the prophet gives God's foretelling of the coming of the Messiah. And when that Messiah comes, there would be joy. Because that Messiah, if you read earlier in chapter 61, that Messiah would bring good news and good tidings to the poor, would bound up the wounds of the brokenhearted. The people of Israel rejoiced because the coming of Christ meant life would be better. In fact, it would be so good. It would be like a bridegroom decking himself with ornaments before the joyful wedding. It would be like a bride who adorns herself with jewels before her special day. Joy has always been the theme of Christmas. From the very beginning, the night that Jesus was born, you remember the first people to hear the good news. It was the shepherds. They were out in the field. They were keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appears to them and says, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news." What is the good news? Good news of great joy. Christmas has come to us because Christmas is about joy.
joy.
Even Jesus himself would later say in his life and ministry, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly than you could ever imagine. He doesn't say joy, but joy is at the core and the center of abundant life. That's why we sing, and we will sing in just a few moments, that wonderful Christmas carol, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. But sometimes it's easier to sing about joy, it's easier to talk about joy than it is to experience joy. The truth is, many people don't feel much joy, maybe especially at Christmas. Chuck Swindoll, a Christian pastor and author, often said, there is no greater need today than the need for joy, he said. Unexplainable joy, contagious joy, outrageous joy. There are too many long faces. There are too many heavy hearts. There's too much negative attitudes. There is so much misery and sorrow and despair in our world. There's lots of unhappiness, he says, injustice and pain. Many people seem to thrive on the tragedies and calamities of life. There often seems to be very little joy in this world. It's almost as if we are juggling all the experiences of life, and the ball that seems to drop first is joy. Swindoll says, go to any church and look for signs of joy. You may see them, but you might come away disappointed, he says. We sing with long and sad faces. We sit and stand like it's a hassle. There are too many frowns and discouraging expressions. Is that worship? Especially, he says, during the season of joy. Of all the things we juggle during this season, is it joy that sometimes gets dropped? Here is our promise on this third Sunday of Christmas. Joy is the gigantic secret of Christianity. Joy is the gigantic secret of our faith. The world is sad. The world is sorrowful. But our message as Christians is this. We have a better way to live. We have joy. We have the secret to what makes life joyful. As Paul says in his letters, we have every opportunity to experience the joy of our salvation. Jesus even said, unless you become like a child, you really can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about a child on Christmas morning, wide-eyed, excited, seeing the good, not worried about the Dow Jones or the S&P 500, right? Not concerned about declining health care, not bothered by rising inflation, just joy. A.W. Tozer once wrote, the Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. The Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. In other words, that's our testimony. That is our good news. That is what we have to share with the world. Listen to these incredible words from Samuel Gordon. He says, joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian thing. It is the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens in an agreeable way. But joy has its springs deep down inside, and that spring never runs dry, no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. Jesus had joy, singing its music within, even under the shadow of the cross. It is an unknown word except from Jesus. Here is our truth on this third Sunday of Advent. There is something in the Christian life that is much deeper than happiness. There is something in our faith that is much stronger and much more powerful than what the world knows as happiness, and that thing is joy. Happiness comes from happenings, but joy comes in spite of happenings.
Happiness is the world's word. Joy is the Christian's word. The New Testament does not use the word happiness or promise it to us. The New Testament uses the word joy, and for a very good reason. Jesus. I don't always share or usually share poems with you, but this one seemed perfect for this sermon. It seemed perfect for this Sunday. Listen to these words on the third Sunday of Advent. Make these words your prayer this day. Today, whatever may annoy, the word for me is joy. Just simple joy. The joy of life. The joy of children and of wife. The joy of bright blue skies. The joy of rain and glad surprise. Of twinkling stars that shine at night. The joy of winged things upon their flight. The joy of noonday and the trine. The joy of eventide. The joy of labor and of mirth. The joy of air and sea and earth. Whate'er there be of sorrow, I'll put it off until tomorrow. For when tomorrow comes, why then, it will be today and joy again. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, for the promise of the gift of joy on this third Sunday of Advent, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Lord, help us, not because of the happenings of life, but in spite of sometimes the circumstances of life, to be joyful and to rejoice. Lead us and guide us with this promise from you. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.